I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, it's time for Kwanzaa, the week-long celebration of the African diaspora. The holiday is supposed to emphasize family and community and all things homemade. So, of course, we're going to talk about food you might want to serve for your Kwanzaa celebration or just because. But first, as 2011 winds down, we're taking some time to offer a twist on the traditional end-of-year roundup here at Tell Me More. And in fact, across NPR, all week we're highlighting the people, movements, and ideas that had a good year. Today, we turn to the country of Turkey. It was once called the sick man of Europe, but all that has changed in the last decade. Just this year, its neighbors to the west have gone through an economic crisis that still threatens to topple the eurozone. Turkey's economy has been booming with an estimated 7% growth. Its neighbors to the east and south have gone through widespread demonstrations and political turmoil, but Turkey has championed the cause of the Arab Spring and is being increasingly recognized as a regional player. Let's listen to this speech by Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan addressed to the Syrian president. First you'll hear his voice and then you'll hear the voice of the translator. Here it is.
Eğer sen bir lider olarak kendine inanıyorsan,
if you believe in yourself, if you are confident as a leader, you would call for elections. If these ballot boxes take you to power, then you will come to power and rule that country. You can remain in power with tanks and cannons only up to a certain point. The day will come when you will leave.
We wanted to talk more about why this has been a good year for Turkey, so we've called upon Rami Kuri. He is the editor-at-large of the Daily Star in Beirut, Lebanon. We reached him there. Also with us is John Peet, the Europe editor at The Economist magazine, and we reached him in Wiltshire, England. Thank you both so much for joining us. Happy holidays to you both.
Same to you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Peet, I'm going to start with you because the economy is such a concern in the U.S. and Europe at this time. So I'd like to ask you why Turkey's economy has had such a good year.
Well, it's had a series of good years, but this year, 2011, has been probably better than most of the previous ones. The Turkish economy was in terrible state up to about 10 years ago. It went through repeated high inflation, current account crises, trouble with the currency, and they did a lot of economic reform at the time. They sorted out their banks 10 years ago. And the last 10 years have been very good years. Booming times, very strong exports to Europe and increasingly to the region and to Asia. And they've done well again this year. So they're much better off than the rest of Europe. They look really like one of the BRIC countries.
And has this rising tide lifted more boats than just the few? I mean, has it in fact improved the living standard of citizens in a way that they can feel?
Very strongly. I mean, the traditional visitor to Turkey will go to Istanbul, and the life in Istanbul has been good for quite a long time. But what I think has changed since I first went to Turkey 10 years ago has been the living standards right across the main Anatolian landmass. You go to towns like Gaziantep or Kayseri in the middle of Anatolia, and living standards have increased very substantially in the last 10 years. People, you know, there are quite a lot of much richer people, and the average is much higher than it was. So it's been a pretty good time for most Turks.
And Rami Kuri, let's bring you into the conversation. Here's Turkey's Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoglu speaking to Al Jazeera English about their policy toward the Arab Spring protest this summer.
We established two principles. One is now it is time for change in our region. There is a need of a new politics in our region. Second, the method of this change should be peaceful transformation.
Now, of course, Rami, many, you know, diplomats from many countries have been saying this, but they are not necessarily believed. Tell us a little bit about what Turkey's role has been over the in the course of this tumultuous period, and are they seen as an important player, and to what end?
Well, Turkey has developed much greater influence in the region and much closer, tighter connections in terms of business interests, some security interests, trade, tourism, open borders. Now they've got open travel with many Arab countries. And this has generated a sense that Turkey is not only a close partner, but perhaps an influential big brother in some respects for some people in the region. And people look at Turkey in the Arab world, for the most part, with a lot of admiration. And almost everybody in the Arab world sees something in Turkey they like. They like the business development, the economic boom, the democratic transition, the rule of law. They like the Islamist cultural influence, the fact that Islamist groups came into power. Everybody sees something in Turkey that they like and the secular nature of the system. And therefore, this has given Turkey some real significant soft power influence in the region. And it has tried to learn over the last 2 or 3 years how to use that power, how to use that influence in a constructive way. And as the foreign minister pointed out, now they're pretty much focused on trying to promote democratic, peaceful transitions, which is what they experienced in their own country. So this is something quite positive and significant, how much Turkey can actually be involved inside Arab countries to promote this remains to be seen. And this is a big challenge now, to translate a broad principle into actual foreign policy actions.
As part of NPR's year-end series, we're looking at how 2011 was a good year for the country of Turkey. We're speaking with Rami Kuri of the Daily Star in Beirut and also John Pete of The Economist. Rami Kuri, pick up that end, though. Pick up that on that theme a bit, if you would. We're saying that Turkey is more influential in the region. How does it see itself using its influence to what end? To help kind of ease the transition to fuller participation in each of these countries, and how?
Well, one of the things that Turkey is doing is that, having become a powerful, democratic, stable, self-confident, it's now learning how to use that potential power and influence that it has around the region. At the beginning of the Arab Spring, the Turks were a little bit caught on the back foot. In Libya, they weren't quite sure in the beginning what to do. They had huge business interests there. And then they finally came down on the side of the people revolting for their freedom. And in Syria, the same thing. They tried to intervene, and then finally they felt they were not treated honestly by the Syrian government. And they came out on the side of a democratic transition. So they're learning how to play the role of a regional power, which is what they are. They are doing this primarily for their own self-interest, as any powerful country does. For them to have a democratic, stable, prosperous, and democratic Arab neighborhood is incredibly positive, because it drives their economy and it helps in many other strategic interests that they have.
You know, what's interesting is that Turkey, for years at least, from a marketing perspective and also diplomatically in some ways, has positioned itself as kind of the bridge and the buffer between Europe and the Middle East. But for years, Turkey's gone after membership to the European Union with no result. So, John Pete, are Turks less interested now in joining the EU, you know, as the European economies have struggled and as their own has boomed?
I think they are. I think they are. You can see that when you listen to Prime Minister Erdogan's speeches, or when you talk to Foreign Minister Davutoglu. Their goal clearly continues to be one day to join the European Union. But to quite a large extent, they've been rebuffed by the Europeans. The French and Germans have made clear that they don't want Turkey as a member. And I think they are increasingly seeing their role in the Middle East as not quite an alternative, but as giving them some broader position that doesn't just depend on Europe.
There are still concerns about Turkey's human rights record, are there not? This morning, we heard that a Turkish airstrike reportedly killed more than 30 people in a Kurdish area of Iraq. Do you see these human rights concerns abating as time goes on, or is there still a concern that particularly the current regime kind of has an authoritarian tilt that is of concern?
Well, the Turks are really making a transition, which is a transition that any mature country or regional power goes through, which is they come out of this idealistic, romantic world where they say, as they have for years, that they want to have good relations with everybody. They want to have no enemies in the region. And that worked for a few years. But then their relations with Israel became tense. Their relations with Iran maybe getting a little bit more tense because of Syria. They still have the Cyprus issue that's unresolved. The Armenian issue is unresolved. The Kurdish issue. So they're really living in the real world, but it's a real world in which the assets and the positive dimensions of Turkey far outweigh the negative ones. And so it's really exciting to watch Turkey develop. And its problems are still there, and they have to address them, but I think they have the tools to address them more effectively than has been the case in many other countries in the region.
Rami Kuri is editor-at-large of the Daily Star in Beirut, Lebanon. We reached him there. We heard also from John Pete. He is the Europe editor at The Economist magazine, and he was kind enough to join us from Wiltshire, England. Thank you so much for speaking with us, and happy holidays once again.
Thank you, and you too.
Thank you. No problem.